What's going on, listeners? You have reached the Popcorn and Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Robert Ang, and with me over Skype from Florida, say hi to Michael Sheehan, everyone.
What's going on, people? How's everybody doing out there?
I like how we do this like almost like a radio, where I'm like, say hi to Michael Sheehan, but there's no one to say hi. It's just you talking and me talking.
Yes, and I just said hello.
Well, yeah, so this is, we're recording this early in the morning, at least for me. Mike's been up for the past 3 hours, but I just woke up. And, yeah, so let's see if this episode's any different, because we're recording in the morning. So, Mike, what do we have in store for this episode?
So, we're going to talk about Blockbuster video rental stores. As most people probably know if you're listening to this, and this is still in the year 2017, Blockbuster has been out of business for quite a number of years now. But we're just going to kind of reminisce and talk about, you know, the fact that both Rob and I grew up in Blockbuster's heyday. You know, it went from a $1 billion company to going bankrupt. We're not going to focus too much on the financials. We're just going to talk about why we both loved Blockbuster and what we remember.
Yeah. All right, so so Blockbuster, Mike. Just what are you? What are some memories? What are some things that you remember about it that you loved about it so much?
All right. So, in case you're listening to this and you're like, "What is a Blockbuster?" So, Blockbuster was a store, just like any other store. Think of it almost like a furniture store. You'd walk in, and there would just be DVDs everywhere. From when you walk into the door, the walls starting immediately to your left, typically, would just start out with all the brand new DVDs, the new releases. And that would always be on, like, the perimeter of the building. So you would walk the perimeter, you would check out the newest releases, and those were always the most expensive rentals. You know, if they were brand new releases, they were, I don't know what the rate was, but let's say it was $4.99 a night. But as you got on the perimeter, the DVDs would get a little less expensive per the rental. They were still considered new releases, but they had been out a little bit longer, out on DVD a little longer. And then in the center of the building was older DVDs, probably at least like 2 years or older. And there would just be rows upon rows of DVDs you could shuffle through, find movies that you've A, never heard of, B, have heard of, never seen, or something that you've seen but you want to check it out again. And then you'd get to the register with, you know, however many DVDs you have. Near the register, they'd always have some discount bargain bins, some movies they're trying to get rid of that don't rent very well. But there'd also be candy for sale and you know, popcorn and different things. So it kind of got to be this whole experience. Like, you'd spend time in a Blockbuster when you walked in the door thinking about, okay, well, what's new? What just came out? What are these movies about? It was an experience where you'd read the back of the cover. You'd look at the poster, which essentially was to say the DVD cover in itself. There would also be on the walls above all the DVDs were actual movie posters from famous movies, you know, like Pulp Fiction, Jurassic Park, and things of that nature. They also had video games that you could rent there, too, but I was never really a big video game renter during my heyday. Did you ever rent video games from there?
No, I have never rented a video game from Blockbuster.
Well, they not only could you rent a video game, but they actually had systems that you could rent from time to time as well. You could actually rent a whole PlayStation and games for it, which I thought was kind of interesting. But like I was saying, you'd go, at least when I was young, I remember I'd always go with my dad. And usually my brothers as well. We'd go in there and we'd all spread out. Everybody would go to a different section, you know. My dad would always focus on the new release. This what's new, you know, where is that about? I would always be searching for, you know, the stuff in the middle, like seeing all these older films, like trying to understand what they were about. You know, what I could maybe get to rent that was really cheap, that I know my dad wouldn't mind spending $1 a night on a rental. And you would just find some, like, really cool, some really interesting B-films, you know, maybe some stuff starring, like, Bruce Campbell or, you know, some of these B-actors that you didn't know too much about growing up. So you'd find some real gems. But I used to love going to Blockbuster, and I miss that store so much. What was your experience like with Blockbuster, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, we're both movie and TV lovers, so we both have some very similar experiences and memories of Blockbuster Video. And mine are very similar to yours. And the whole fun factor about Blockbuster was the fact that, you know, they really just tried to gear it like, you know, a movie cinematic experience, like a movie theater type of thing. Like you said, they sold candy and popcorn. They had like movie posters up, and they had like aisles and aisles and along the wall, just like, you know, dozens and dozens of the same movie. And it was just like, I always remember walking in, and it was like you said, the new release wall and things like that. And you would look at all the new releases, and it would probably be like 20 to 30 copies of that, you know, DVD, and they would like all be out. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I missed my chance. I can't even rent that movie right now. I gotta wait. You know, you can check, you can like go to the counter and be like, has anyone just like recently returned this movie? I really want to see it, type of thing. They'll check the bag, they'll check the return. Because maybe they didn't have time to put it back up on the wall. But yeah, it was just kind of fun. And like you said, it was a thing that you spent a lot of time with, walking around trying to find that movie, because there were like hundreds and hundreds of movies in that store, and you just had to pick one for that night that you wanted to watch that night. And it was, you know, I think upwards to like, I wouldn't be surprised if I spent an hour there, but you know, it was more likely probably like 40 half hour to 45 minutes I would spend there. And yeah, you just basically you just if you ever just watched people in Blockbuster, like you would just see people just kind of like walking around the corner and the borders of the wall, just like almost like in a cyclical motion. And that was me too. You would just look at the covers of the movies, you would pick it up if you were interested, maybe read the synopsis on the back, and eventually rent one. And I do remember one thing that I hated about Blockbuster. It's not that I hated it about the Blockbuster store, but it was just the experience that whenever I went to Blockbuster with, say, you know, two or three friends, and we were like, let's just go watch a movie tonight. I'm not gonna lie to you, Mike, I don't think there was ever one time out of the dozens of times that I went with my friends to Blockbuster that we all agreed on one movie. And I'm not going to lie to you either, we walked out almost every single time without even renting a movie because we couldn't decide on it. Did you ever have any type of experience like that?
Oh yeah, that used to happen often. You know, you would just go in there and everybody would be like, oh my god, this is an amazing movie, and people are like, I've seen it, I don't want to see that again, you know, or that movie's stupid, your taste in movies is stupid. And you get like so crushed by what some things your friends would say. But yeah, we used to go in there all the time and totally just spend an hour or 2 hours and not rent anything, because we were like, oh, we spent so much time trying to figure something out, we don't even have time to watch a movie anymore. But one thing you did say that I totally forgot about was the return box. They had this return box outside of the door. It was like a giant mailbox, and you would just kind of open it up. You would put your DVDs inside, and you would close it, and the DVDs would drop down into a box. And so a lot of times with like the newer releases, if they weren't on the wall, you'd have to go up to the counter and be like, can you check the box for this movie?
Yeah.
And the guys who worked the counter would always be pissed off about that. They're like, oh, you know, it's not in there. And you'd be like, did you even look? And they'd look and they're like, okay, here's one copy for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if we're like dating ourselves now, but did you go to like Blockbuster when they only had VHSs?
Oof, that's a good question. I'm going to say yes, I must have, but I don't remember that so much. I just really remember Blockbuster with DVD cases. I mean, they had aisles of VHSs as well, but I always focused on the DVDs. You know, I think that was a technology that my father got on board with real fast when the DVD player came out, because he had my father had this humongous collection of VHS tapes, probably over 1,000 VHS tapes. And once the DVD technology came out, I remember he came home and he was so upset, but then like the next day he went out and bought a DVD player and just little by little started like repurchasing all his VHSs on DVDs. And you know, now to this day he's got upwards of like 2,000 DVDs, and just replaced them all. And a lot of that was when Blockbuster was going out of business. You know, when they started going out of business, and the Blockbuster going out of business was over a couple years. You know, little by little, they started closing out Blockbusters. You know, they knew that they were not doing well. So they would close some stores and consolidate videos. And so you'd go, and they were always doing this like 4 for $20 or 5 for $20 DVD deal. And I just remember my dad and myself would just go there, and we'd like leave leave with, you know, $20 in DVDs, but that would have been, you know, 25 DVDs in some cases or whatever. And just little by little building up both of our collections. You know, I only have maybe a third of what my father has. I think I have close to 500 DVDs. But of those 500, 90 to 95% of them are bought from Blockbuster when it was going out of business.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember the 4-for-20 deals, and those were like a steal. You know, you would be buying, you would be purchasing the videos, the DVDs that have been, you know, watched over and over again from customers, from Blockbuster. But, I mean, if you really just wanted that DVD for your collection or for just to watch it again and again, you know, it was a really, really good deal rather than paying over $10 to $15 to buy a brand new DVD. So, yeah, I remember rocking that deal a lot, too. And, yeah, that was awesome. So, Mike, just talking about Blockbuster and the way that, like, you know, we kind of consume movies and TV and videos now, do you miss the old ways? Like, what did Blockbuster and that experience from the past have that maybe is better compared to how we consume and how we search for what we're going to watch, what we're going to rent movies now? Or is there like nothing better with the Blockbuster experience and everything is better now? What do you think?
The thing that I miss is, you know, and I think people say the same thing about book reading. You know, you need to hold it in your hand. You need to see it. I know people talk about smelling books. I don't smell any DVDs. But, you know, now when you scroll through Netflix, to me, some stuff tends to blend together and I'll often pass over something for no particular reason, just because the cover doesn't look all that interesting. But I have no idea what the film was even about, or the TV show. You know, at Blockbuster, like, you'd go in there time and time again, and you'd pick something different up, maybe that you did walk past before, but you could kind of like, you know, well, what is this movie about? Like, let me get a little bit more details. You'd see an actor's name on there. And I realized that you can do a similar thing with Netflix and stuff. You can go on the info and kind of read little snippets, but I don't know, for me, it's just not the same. I can't pinpoint exactly why, but I miss that experience of walking around a Blockbuster, picking up DVDs, you know, kind of holding on to them, like evaluating, you know, breaking down, like I'd capture, maybe I'd pick up 5 DVDs, and by the end, I'd only end up renting 1 or maybe 2, but, you know, you kind of like hold on to, you think about the movie, like, well, what am I in the mood for? Like, I've got these options in my hand, you know, but I can only rent one, so, like, you know, what's my reasoning? Why am I going to go with an action flick today over a drama or a comedy? I don't know. I just personally miss that experience. I really wish Blockbuster was still in business. Even, like, going to a Redbox, like, it's cool, you know, I'll go into a Redbox knowing what I want to rent. I don't really scroll around too much. I go there for a DVD that I'm looking for, and if they don't have it, then I just go back home. Well, what about you?
Yeah, no, I was trying to think of what I was going to say or even respond to that question myself, and I don't know. It's like what you said, you know, it's an experience just to physically go to a store. Like, if you physically go to the Blockbuster, that means you really, really want to watch a movie. And I don't want to, like, say that, like, this day and age, you know, society and our culture has gotten insanely lazy, because I think technology has advanced this consumption of videos in a much easier and beneficial way. But it's just that it's so easy just to, like, you know, be lying down on your couch, putting on Netflix or going on demand and just, like, you know, scrolling through movies and be like, I don't really feel like watching this one, or, you know, maybe I'll watch this one. And, like, maybe you're not even really in the mood to watch a movie. You're just doing it because, like, there's nothing better to do. But, like, if I wanted to really, really watch a movie, I would go to Blockbuster when it existed, because just to physically get my butt out of the seat and drive or walk to the nearest store, you know, I'm not leaving there without a movie, you know, type of thing. So I think that, in a sense, was kind of like what I remember most about it, and how, you know, the culture has definitely changed with all these streaming services now. But, you know, like I said, it is a lot more convenient to just stay at home now. And, you know, you can do all that research, whether, like, you know, what new releases are coming out and what actor or what movie, what is this movie about? Like, you can just watch trailers online before you even rent it, you know, from on demand or something like that. So it has become a lot more interactive and a lot more accessible. But I don't know. I'm like you, man. We're a little old school, maybe because just we just grew up in this manner. And, you know, it's definitely easy to say I miss Blockbuster. But to say that if Blockbuster existed today, how often would I go there over watching a movie that is available on Netflix or an on-demand service? I don't know if I would actually go. Mike, are you saying that if Blockbuster existed today, you would still, you know, frequently go to a Blockbuster store to rent a movie even though you know it's on Netflix?
I personally would, yes. Well, all right. So I was already answering the question, but I didn't actually hear you. You said if it's already on Netflix.
Yes.
I would be under the assumption that Blockbuster, especially for newer releases, would have the movies before Netflix would have them. Because Netflix takes a while to get new releases on their platform.
That's true.
So I would be going there because I would know they had movies earlier than Netflix. If I know something is on both, I mean, I probably will just stay home. But there would be cases where I would go to Netflix and be like, oh, well, maybe I must go to Blockbuster and say, I know I can watch this one on Netflix, but maybe I want to watch something else again later, you know, after that. So I don't know. I mean, it's a complicated question. You know, it's like they don't exist now, so you don't even have to think about it. You know, you just go on to Netflix or Amazon Prime or, you know, there is this other box rental service that I have only seen up in New Jersey in Saddlebrook. It's called like DVD Rentals or something really generic like that, but it gets new releases like 28 days before Netflix does for some reason. I guess it's some contract that they have. So I used to go to that a lot, and I almost wondered if Blockbuster had taken on a model like that because they had all these contracts, you know, where they could have got movies faster than Redbox or Netflix, you know, if they could have pivoted that business and been successful. You know, they tried to a little bit, you know, by offering the DVDs through the mail, but it just could not compete with Netflix, and, you know, they just lost all their market share and went out of business. It's a sad story, you know, and it's one that, like, a lot of businesses cite when they're looking, you know, trying to look into the future. You know, they're trying to say, well, you know, yes, our technology exists today, but what do we need to do to not become a Blockbuster, not get stuck with where our technology is, you know? So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, going over how Blockbuster kind of crumbled. Do you think that, like, were they just, like, naive to the ever-changing, you know, streaming service, you know, future and the way that, like, because even, like, when Netflix started out, it was, like, that mail order DVD rental thing. And then, like, obviously Blockbuster's like, oh, whoa, you know, we got to capitalize on this. We can't let them take this away from us. So they started getting into it, too. And until, you know, Netflix started changing into the streaming service. And I don't know, like, I mean, I don't know the history. We would have to do some more research. But, like, do you think it's just, like, do you think that, like, the owners of Blockbuster, they just didn't really think too progressively? Or were they confident that, you know, people would stay, you know, old school and keep on going to the stores just for the experience that we have been talking about? Or, like, where did it go wrong? Where did they not do enough, do you think, to compete with the Netflixes and the Redboxes and the on-demand services, Mike?
Yeah, I remember reading a case study and saying how, you know, there was a couple executives who used to work for Blockbuster, and they would talk in meetings about how, you know, they were not worried about the online, the, you know, through the mail DVD services, because they had launched Blockbuster and given, you know, that option, but they were only losing like a very small percentage of their business to those mail order DVDs. What really killed them was when the streaming services were launched. You know, Blockbuster did not predict that everybody would have a smartphone. You know, that everybody would have a service where you could just get stuff, you know, easily to your phone. And that's what ended up killing their business. As soon as that stuff started taking off, people stopped going to Blockbuster. They started signing up for Netflix. They started signing up for, I know Amazon Prime was probably came around after Blockbuster went out of business, but there was other services there for a while where people were, you know, Hulu and joining all these streaming services. And it's the same thing that we talk about with cable. Like, you know, in our previous episode, like, eventually streaming services are going to kill cable. It may not be anytime soon, but I really do think that that is going to happen. And, you know, cable needs to get smart. Cable companies need to get smart about what they're doing, because at some point they may find themselves in the same scenario that Blockbuster was, being out of business.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, Mike, final question. Did you ever work at Blockbuster? And if you haven't, did you ever wish that you did? Because I could kind of see you being like a Blockbuster clerk when you were younger. And every single time a person would rent a movie, you would just talk their ear off about how great or how like you recommend that movie or not. Did you ever work at Blockbuster?
Let me tell you about how many times I filled out the freaking application for Blockbuster and they never called me. It was so frustrating. First off, the application, the Blockbuster, at most Blockbusters, they had this little kiosk that you could sit down and fill out the application. The application, no joke, took 25 minutes to complete. It was all quote-unquote online, because I don't think that the kiosk was actually connected to the internet. But it was on a computer, and you'd sit down, and they had all these, like, behavioral questions that they asked you about, you know, and situations that they would put you in. If somebody says the DVD is supposed to only be $1 per night, but you know that it's actually $4 per night, what do you do, and how do you treat the customers? And open-ended questions, not even like multiple choice. I filled that frigging application out probably upwards of 50 times throughout my life, and never even once got a phone call. I don't know if I was answering things wrong. I don't know if I just always bad timing and these places were never hiring. But yeah, I really wanted to work at a Blockbuster because I spent so much time there. I knew more about the movies than the people working there often, and I would be telling them stuff about the films that they didn't know. So it was my greatest regret that I never got to work at a Blockbuster. So thank you for reopening that wound for me.
Well, for what it's worth, Mike, I wish that you worked at the Blockbuster that I went to, because then we would have just talked about movies the entire day.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. That was our nostalgia episode of Blockbuster. Please check us out on iTunes. We are the Popcorn and Pop Culture Podcast. And, yeah. Peace.
Peace.